I put on a jacket today because it's more in keeping with the Louis XIV decor here in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zenner. Remember, this Saturday, October 17th, if you are in Orlando, Florida, or you want to be in Orlando, Florida, and, you know, who doesn't? I guess you can get on an airplane, and there are a lot of cheap flights to Orlando because that thing Walt Disney started is down there somewhere, down there in Orlando somewhere. But you don't want to go there. You want to go to some place where you're going to be fed spiritually. Why get cotton candy and talking mice when you can get the truth, the Spirit of God, and meet other believers? Remember, the contact there is Gary Haight, H-A-I-G-H-T. Now, I don't even know the details myself yet. I forget their address, but you need to know that, right, in order to go to this thing. Well, you contact Gary Haight, and he will give you his address. And he will tell you what time it is, because as I sit here today on a Wednesday, I don't know what time it is yet. I wait till the last minute to do any of this stuff. I'm a procrastinator. It saved me many times, procrastination has. I recommend it to anybody. Gary Haight, grh612@gmail.com, or call him at 352-321-2517. Same with Birmingham on October 24th. I don't know what time it is, and I forget the address of Laura Johnston, but you can contact her at whizchick62@yahoo.com, whizchic62@yahoo.com. We're going to start talking about the westernmost beast, the most ferocious beast, the beast that couldn't even be described because it had no natural counterpart. And wouldn't you know, it's the wonderful little love religion, the love religion of Christianity. But now we know the real love religion is Buddhism. Hinduism, not bad. Islam, no way. Christianity, forget about it. They teach love. They talk about it, but it's all words, all show, and no go for those poor people. So I want to finish up with this, though. The spirit world, remember this, really rules. The spirit world, there's battles, there's wars up there that manifest themselves here on earth. And they use the religious powers to, again, attempt to eradicate God, the true God, from the face of the earth. They don't care if there are fake gods that are telling crazy things like eternal torment and human free will. They love that. So they'll set in place the caliphs, the popes, the archbishops, the lamas, the brahmas, the buddhas, the mullahs, the priests, the clergy, the ministers, Pastor Dave, Father Joe, anybody they possibly can to make this happen. They will work out their purpose, these evil spiritual beings in the spiritual realm on this happy little planet where we find ourselves suffering a great deal. So again, religion and politics, it's great to have it separated now, but it's going to be brought together in a false way at the end of this age, and in a true way when Jesus Christ returns to set up the kingdom. Now let's look at the characteristics of the Western beast. And I lost my page there. Okay, here it is. It's the monstrous, the Western most religion. This includes Europe and the Americas. We're not giving Europe a pass here, right? They spawned us here in the United States. And so we're not giving them a pass. They also claim to be Christian, although Islam is taking over Europe. We all know this. Here are the characteristics given to Daniel concerning the monstrous: iron teeth, copper claws, 10 horns, and another horn. I suppose we should go ahead and read that passage. So here we go, Daniel chapter 7. Oh, here it is. 7, verse 7. In place of this, perceiving am I in the vision of the night, and behold, a fourth animal, terrifying and awful, and exuberantly mighty. She has monstrous iron teeth, devouring and pulverizing and stamping upon the remainder, that is, the remainder of the beasts, with her feet. She is diverse from all the animals that are east of her, and she has 10 horns. At the end of this era, you will be able to positively identify 10 political powers. They might be national blocs, they might be nations themselves. 10 political powers that make up the West. And from these 10 political powers of the West will come another horn. The 10 powers are called horns. Remember, the horns of the altar, horns has to do with aggression. The horn of the animal is the part it gores you with. Don't turn your back, or certainly don't bend over when there is a bull in the neighborhood. That horn can be a sticky proposition for you. So there will be another horn. Now let's go to verse 8 of Daniel chapter 7. Contemplating am I the horns, and lo, another bit of a horn comes up among them, and three of the eastern horns are felled to stumps before it, and lo, eyes as the eyes of a mortal are in this horn. Remember, this is strange language, so that you'll have to understand rules of language to get this. Most people read this and throw up their hands. And there are even some scoffers who Peter talks about in 2 Peter. Oh, don't get me started. Peter talks about scoffers, 2 Peter, I think it's chapter 3, who say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers were put to repose, everything has continued the same thus from the beginning of the world. And they're oblivious of many things, that changes have happened. Well, today there are scoffers. As I've said to you, and I'm saying it again for those of you new to the program, there are scoffers saying we're not supposed to know the end times. We're not supposed to read the signs leading to the resurgence of Israel. But we are, and that's why these prophecies are there. That's why the unveiling is there. That's why Daniel's prophecy is there, not to be ignored and to understand it after the fact, but to know what's going to happen. Otherwise, you're a scoffer. And I'll tell you, I can understand why people have become scoffers, because there have been too many Christian movements and Christian individuals, so-called Christian, well, they are Christian, but you know what I think about that, who have set dates for the return of Christ. Nobody's setting a date here. We're looking at times and seasons. Did Jesus say anything besides that? Times and seasons? When you see the red at night, you know it's going to be fair. When you see red skies in the morning, sailors take warning, as the saying goes. So there are general seasons to look for. The figs ripening tells you that a season has come. If you don't recognize the season we're in, and you say that it's impossible to know, then I'm sorry, but I might have to categorize you as one of the scoffers that Peter talks about. Where's the promise of his presence? Just because a bunch of yahoos and morons have set dates, and these dates have come and gone, doesn't mean that there isn't a date. Doesn't mean that there isn't a set time. I would not let these people, these charlatans, these quiz kids, these circus freaks, to dissuade you from believing the truth that this era is upon us. So it has eyes as the eyes of a mortal. This is strange language, but this is the man of lawlessness, eyes of a mortal. This horn is animated. It has eyes. And I've seen the dumb pictures on the internet showing a horn with eyes. And that's exactly what John saw, but it represents something. Declaring monstrous things, and it is making war with the saints. This is repeated in the unveiling. The man of lawlessness will make war with the saints, because as the head of the wild beast, it will demand worship. And that happens in the religious section of the unveiling from chapters 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and like numbers. So, iron teeth, a copper claws. Christianity, the love religion, the religion of, if your enemy is hungering, give it to eat. If it's thirsting, give it to drink. The religion of, if a man asks you for a shirt, give him your blue jeans too. This religion is the most armed religion anywhere on the planet. We got the ability to blow up the planet several times over. We're stockpiling. It's the Y2K phenomenon, only it has to do with world conquest. Now, having said that, I'm a little bit conflicted here, because I do see the value of defending your home. Defending the home, yes. Not instigating conflict. So, I can somewhat excuse, in some sense, the monstrous, because I think that in the United States history, many will disagree with me. Some will even laugh at me and mock me and write me emails. But I think that for the most part, our political or military posture has been defensive in nature. I know. Maybe I'm naive. I think of the wars of my era. World War II specifically. We didn't make Adolf Hitler a pain in the nuts. We didn't inspire him to want to conquer the world, did we? So anyway, that's one example. And yet, we are paranoid as a country, and we've built up arms against any incursion, foreign or domestic. Domestic, yes, that reminds me of the Civil War. I don't want to bring that up, because many of you would call that the War of Northern Aggression. Others say it is about slavery. I can sort of see both points. But anyway, no matter how you look at it, we're a pretty much agitated, boiling nation. We're not a people of peace like the Buddhists. We're not as bad as Islam, and yet no one has more arms built up. So we're not friendly. You can't knock on the door of a neighbor anymore these days. Did you notice that? Back in the day when a visitor used to come by, they used to be able to knock on your door at night and they would be received and they would be given the morsel and given drink and they would be offered lodging for the night. It was a common thing. Now we're such a shut up society, and I'm talking nationally and personally in our neighborhoods. Neighbors don't know neighbors. Everybody has a gun. I'm not anti-Second Amendment. I'm pro-Second Amendment. But do I have a gun? No. I'm not one of these people. I'm not one of the ones who would defend my country to the end. Or nor would I be, if I don't even have a gun personally, or I don't even have a stick by my bed to defend me against owls at night, or mice. Like, you know, I can't kill anything. So I'm sure as heck not going to have a gun. So I'm sure not going to promote the building up of arms. Y2K, you know what I did, don't you? You don't know what I did at Y2K? Here's what I did. It's a seven-letter word that starts with the letter N. I did nothing. I am out there, man. I ain't prepared for nothing. I don't have health care. No, I don't have health care. I didn't sign up for Obamacare. I don't have any health care because I'm out there. I don't have a gun. I don't have a stick. I don't even have a bullhorn. Please get out of my bedroom. No. What I do have is the same spirit of Christ, if I may say so. It's not of my doing. I was given this. It's a free gift. I know that's a redundancy, but you have to say that nowadays. Jesus sent out his disciples. Don't take with you much money. Don't take, or did he say, don't take any money. Leave your sword at home. I will take care of you as you go. I'm not stupid, but I have enough for the day. The United States of America and Western Europe, but especially the United States, we have much more than we need for the day. We're not trying to protect ourselves from a rogue intruder. We're protecting ourselves from nations. We have a moat built around our castle. This moat is not filled with water and alligators, the alligators that I will soon see when I travel to Florida. It is filled with nuclear weapons. And it is of my humble opinion that these other nations, Islam in particular, who has the same disposition, somewhat, they have the same disposition as us, they also have nuclear weapons. And I think there is going to be a nuclear skirmish soon that is going to finally convince the West that they need to do something about Islam. But in the meantime, we are the monsters. More details on this tomorrow. We are, if not a completely aggressive nation, we are ridiculously paranoid, and we think that there is safety in guns and in tanks and in airplanes. But unless God keeps the city, then the watchman on the wall stays vigilant in vain.